Joe Bowen, play-by-play voice for the Toronto Maple Leafs, joining Gord Stellick, John Shannon on Primetime Sports. How you doing, Bonesy?
I'm good, Gordo. How are you two guys today?
We're great. You know, we play back your goal calls last night, and there's always a consistency you have home and away, which is always something very commendable. That may be one of the stranger games you've had to call.
Well, it was. Disappointing that they would not start on time, as the coach likes to point out, and they did it for two straight home games in a stretch of their schedule where they could, you know, maybe make some hay and maybe get pulled even or ahead of the Boston Bruins. So to see them start that way was very disappointing. And yet, as they battled back and had 29 or 30 shots in the third period, and for all intents and purposes, probably should have tied the game. I thought that that was a penalty that when the goaltender knocked the net off. But having said that, if you dig a hole that deep, it's pretty tough to climb out of in this league. It's the best league in the world. But, the Blackhawks were very fortunate to get out of town with the 2 points, and it's an important 2 points for them.
So let's talk about the deal you play that he knocked it off. You don't think the net was dislodged first and he just pushed it off to make sure the whistle blew?
Just the replay that I saw, John, and we probably didn't see all of it. The one I saw, I thought he pushed it off. So I didn't see any other spot where it came off mm-hmm. beforehand, he made sure he got rid of it, though. There was no two ways about that.
It was sure easy to move. That's the only reason I asked that question. And in the back of my mind, there are only few advantages that home teams can have. And marsh pegs and how the ice is treated. One of those advantages. If I Kyle Dubas, I'm going down to the back area and say, hey boys, we got to make sure the pegs are in solid in our nets at their end mm-hmm. and a little easier at our end.
Maybe they got it backwards. Maybe they got his instructions mixed up.
It's like the old days at Wrigley Field when the Cubs were a slow team, the grass was long, right?
Yep. Oh yeah. Oh, remember when Maury Wills played for the Dodgers? It was a quagmire around first base for the San Francisco Giants. I mean, you had to swim to second base.
Well, the other part, it's something John Tavares talked about after the game, and it was frustrating for the Leafs, and we see a lot of it at every level of hockey, that the net becoming legitimately or mysteriously dislodged. But I want to talk about your tweet then about. I agree about Morgan Rielly emerging as a big-time leader of the club. I got to be honest, I don't agree about naming someone a captain quite yet, given there's a Tavares there. When the conversations come up, you've heard apparently people around Mitch Marner piping in that he should get consideration, that I still think there's an element of it being a hot potato. But are you of the mind that this is the guy, or that there just should be a captain named now?
You know what, Gordia, and it was kind of interesting because we were talking with a number of people, and I had an interesting conversation with a veteran scout who I have a great deal of time for and really respect. And one of the things that was pointed out was that you watch the guys when the game is out of reach, when things are really going wrong, who's the guy that plays hard right to the end? And I think that was brought out after the game with Tampa. And Morgan Rielly's name was front and center. He played hard right through to the end. There was no stopping. And other guys, they cut corners, people to get frustrated and, everything else. And the more I thought about it, I thought, especially after the way things had started with the Chicago game, that, and you can have A's and you can have people who are leaders and everything else. Sometimes you do need the guy to have the C on, and he's the guy who stands up and maybe tears a little paint off the wall or whatever, or gets in people's faces or whatever, but has to have that kind of authority given to him by the hockey club. And at this particular point, with this team kind of spinning its wheels and not, kind of being focused towards what you would hope would be a good push to the end of the season and maybe even catching Boston, it just, to me, it seemed that they were You know, the coach talks about steady on the rudder, and I don't know if anybody had their hands on the rudder.
But don't
and
you,
that's the point that I was thinking.
But, Joe, don't you think the players, they don't need a C to do that? Don't you think that that room of guys that are between, for the sake of argument, 20 and 37, don't you think they know who the leaders are without C's and A's?
I think so, John, and that's true, but you know, sometimes I think an individual needs to have management sit down and say, you're the guy. And like every other team in this league has had it. And we have, the Maple Leafs have not had anybody really since Matt Sundin. They handed it to Dion Phaneuf, and it was probably a mistake at that point. But I think at this point, I thought, you know, Kyle Dubas would kind of get an idea of what was going on in the room. Certainly Mike Babcock knows that as well. And that this would be done. And I, maybe it was me just being frustrated last night too, but I just felt that was the time that at least take some of the pressure off of everything else, make this a positive. And certainly the way Morgan Riley has handled himself both on and off the ice this week, I think speaks volumes for the young man. And I just think that under these circumstances, he is the longest serving guy. He is certainly having a career season. He's one of the better players in the National Hockey League at his position. And I think that he's the leader of this team, and it should be reflected with what the players know and what management can tell them.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. You're around the team quite a bit. And I think Morgan Riley, particularly with the contract he's on, he's got 3 years after this year at $5 million per season. He's a Norris Trophy candidate. I mean, there's so many positives that way. I agree that I think in Toronto, it's beyond now the Dion Phaneuf repeat of that. And it wasn't Dion's fault, but like you say, it was far too quickly.
Bring it up with the guy at 6 o'clock.
He was given, with Brian Burke.
Bring it up with the guy at 6 o'clock.
He was given the C rather quickly back then. And it became, he tried to be a great captain, but it's tough when you're explaining it, particularly when you lose all the time, which the Leafs aren't doing right now. My perspective is, like, John Tavares is the guy. If you're going to name a captain, he's the veteran guy. He's the safe choice. And down the road, there's the
safe choice because he's here for 7 years?
I think because he's older. I think safe choice because he's here for 7 years, part of it. But also, I think down, unless there's someone internally, like you say, Joe, the guys will know if there's one guy that stands heads and shoulders above everybody else. But down the road, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, or Morgan Riley still could be a captain.
It's funny. I actually, before the season started on this show, said that it should be Morgan Riley if they named a captain. I have no problem not having a captain.
I don't either.
I also think, Joe, and here this is another topic for debate, is that you said the team should appoint him. I actually think, and I've never been a manager, I'm never going to be a manager, I'm never going to be a coach, but I'd rather have the players elect the captain. So that the onus, you know, there can't be, management picked this guy. The onus is on the players. The players picked the person. And now the player's representative is the captain.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that, John. And maybe it's time that that the management goes ahead and say, okay, here it is. Let's get this thing. I mean, it's obviously a hot potato. It's obvious. And there are, as you mentioned, Gordy, a wealth of candidates. I just think under the circumstances that since Morgan has been here as long as he has and shows this kind of leadership on the ice and off the ice, I think that as far as I'm concerned, I think he should be the guy.
If you're a captain and don't have a strong leadership group, then you're in big time trouble. What impresses me is, unlike the toxic group, and some of that toxic group, Nazem Kadri was one of them, Tyler Bozak, part of that group.
They've grown up, though.
Well, I know, they grew up. It's just more who you follow and how you choose. It was a toxic environment for a while. This is a very constructive, healthy, professional environment. That's the most important thing, whether it's Riley, Tavares, somebody else. I really think the leadership group is in a really good place.
No, and management and coaching have produced that. You can be as frustrated as you want for just two games out of 82 since they've been back to back or however. It's the one thing that is there. It's going to be asked about and talked about throughout the course. I just think that under this circumstances, as they head into the playoffs, I think that it would behoove them to end any of the speculation. And if in fact they're going to do the thing as John suggested, that it's straw poll in the dressing room, and maybe with some input from management, then I think it should be done and done before the playoffs start. I firmly believe
that. That's interesting. I asked Gordy this question, and I'll ask you too, Joe. Which game disappointed you more or frustrated you more, Monday or Wednesday?
Well, I've listened for 30-some-odd years about how tough it is to come back from Western Canada or Western United States with the time zones and how the first game turns into the dog's breakfast. So I suppose to some extent the excuse was there and it was built in, and I suppose everybody kind of believes it. I found it interesting that the Leafs played an Eastern time zone game in Edmonton and yet elected to stay over and fly the next day as opposed to getting home a little bit late and then having a whole day off. Mm-hmm. And maybe in retrospect, they would change that thought process. So the sleep doctor, whoever is in charge of that, may have to rethink his position. So I could understand that. I was more disappointed with the Chicago effort. And when you don't, when you come out and, I mean, Frederik Andersen has bailed them out of a lot of situations where he was the difference in the first period and allowed them to get their legs under them. Well, they kind of hung him out to dry, and he wasn't able to do the same things that he's done on numerous occasions. And so, you know, that disappointed me as much. However, I mean, they at least roared back at least gives you the idea that they weren't folding the tent at any point in time. So I think I was probably more disappointed in the first half of the game last night than to worry about the game against Tampa.
Well, Philadelphia in town Friday, then in Ottawa Saturday. I know you'll be back covering those. We look forward as well on the radio station post-game show and the broadcast. Thanks very much, Joe.
Anytime, boys, anytime.